Well then, Doctor.
I gather you will all be leaving here in due course.
We are moving, yes, to Guestwick.
I suppose I ought to congratulate myself on having you so much nearer to me, but I cannot bear to think of you living anywhere but here at Allington. I don't believe you ought to move away, unless the circumstances are very imperative.
They are.
Well, in that case, Belle, I would like to ask you a question.
Yes?
Perhaps I ought not to ask it, but I have known you so long that I almost feel that I am speaking to a sister. It is about Bernard Dale.
Ah.
There is a rumour in Guestwick that you and he...
It is untrue. Quite untrue.
I see. It would have been an excellent marriage.
What do you mean? You want me to marry Bernard simply because I would then have a large house to live in and a coach?
I think you misunderstand me. It would have been an excellent marriage if you and your cousin had loved each other.
Of course it would. Likewise, if I'd loved the butcher or the baker and been loved in return. What you meant was Bernard's circumstances offer a reason for loving him.
I don't think I did mean that.
Well, if you didn't, you meant nothing.
I must go. You have scolded me very dreadfully, Belle, and I deserve it for interfering.
You deserve it, but that was not your crime, Dr. Crofts. You must not assume we are all worldly and money-wise. You do not care for money so much yourself.
Oh, but I do. I think money is the best friend a man can have.
No, Dr. Crofts, you don't think anything of the sort. Otherwise you wouldn't be looking after Lily and asking for no fee in return. You ought to be getting home. You have spent more than enough time here today.
I hope you don't begrudge my staying, Belle.
Begrudge it? How could I?
The sooner I leave, you know, the longer I must spend alone. I think that you certainly shall begrudge it.
What do you mean? You are as welcome to us as flowers in May. You always were so, and can hardly be less than welcome now, when you come to us in our trouble. At any rate, you shall never say that I turned you out.
Shall I never say so? What, Belle, if so poor a man as I should ask for the hand that you withhold from so rich a man as your cousin Bernard? Would you turn me out then?
Dr. Croft!
I thought as much. I will go now.
What is it you mean? Why are you trying to provoke me? This is all nonsense.
Yes, it is. I have no right to speak to you as I did, particularly as I am here in the way of my profession. I beg your pardon. Will you forgive me before I go?
Forgive you for what?
For daring to love you. For having loved you almost as long as I have known you. You should forgive me this, for I'm not sure I could have helped myself. But will you also forgive me for having told you?
Dr. Croft!
I had intended to ask you to be my wife. Simply that. Thought of it as I rode here today. During my frequent rides here these last weeks, I have thought of little else. But I told myself I had no right to ask you. I haven't even a house fit for you to live in.
Dr. Crofts, if I loved you, if I wished to marry you...
But you do not.
No, I don't think I do. I suppose not. No. Money, though, has nothing to do with it.
But I am not that butcher or that baker that you spoke of whom you could love.
No, I... No.
I felt it would be so. I shall say goodbye. You know now what I meant when I spoke of being turned out.
Nobody turns you out.
But it is time I went, is it not? I shall be back tomorrow, of course, to tend to your sister, and you will find that you hardly recognize me for the same fellow that has been making a fool of himself this evening. Well, you now know of my feelings, but I shall not, I promise, give you cause to be distressed again.
Dr. Crofts, I am very sorry. I have not been so much distressed as confused, taken aback. Dearest friend, I had not expected this, for the very reason, perhaps, that you are such a dear friend, and have been for so long.
Goodbye, then, Belle.
Such a very dear friend.
fallen from a height, fallen from my pride of place. I've tried to brazen it out, looked the world in the eye and said, all right, very well, I promised I would marry the girl, but I broke that promise. Became engaged to someone else instead of higher rank, yes, yes. And for jilting the girl, I was physically attacked by a foolish admirer of hers, set upon and beaten in a public place. This is true. But there are greater crimes than mine. Greater catastrophes than have befallen Lily Dale, and men have suffered greater disgrace than I did at Paddington Station. Well, I suppose this strategy has been of some benefit to my self-esteem. But nothing can restore me to where I was. At work, my authority and influence are less now than they were. At the club, my popularity is diminished, so that when I dine there, I dine alone, and meet but infrequently those members whom I once considered to be part of my circle. I'm a kind of leper in a place where once I was a leading light. Despite my best efforts, things have changed with the De Courcys, too, and with Lady De Courcy most especially. Oh, a mere 6 months ago she accorded me a degree of respect and warmth. Now I am to marry her daughter. And one might have expected our good relations to have been maintained, at the least, if not grown, considerably better. But no. By becoming engaged to Alexandrina, I have been made a captive. And I am to be treated as such. Oh, I have offered my little demonstrations of protest, but in truth I have submitted. Altogether, I am a little man now.
He's nothing but an old savage. Thinks everyone is to do just as he tells them. And naturally, you oblige him, take sides with the man at every opportunity.
So should you, seeing how much you're indebted to him.
Well, to tell the truth, sister, I would take his side with anyone but you.
Lily!
But you see, the topic of Dr. Crofts is the only one which provokes from you a strong reaction. What do you talk of, Belle? When you and he are alone. Tell me.
Lily, you are allowed to tease me about Dr. Crofts, but your privilege does not extend thus far.
Is there nothing, then, that you can recount to me? Is it all so very private?
Well, I...
Why, then, has he perhaps declared his love to you? Belle, did he ask you to marry him?
Yes, he did. 2 evenings ago.
Belle! And what was your answer?
I said nothing.
Nothing?
I don't think I said anything. I can't remember.
But silence always signifies consent. He'll know that.
No, he won't. My silence, if silence it was, signified no consent, dear sister.
But you didn't mean to refuse him.
I'm not sure.
Oh, Belle.
I thought it safer, anyway, to say no, or at least to say no by my face.
But why? What if he asks you again, dearest sister? What will your face tell him then?
I don't know. Oh, I feel as if I'd like years to decide. Anyway, he won't ask again.
And the verdict?
I pronounce you almost well.
Almost well? Doctor, your tyrannical reign is over. I'm out of bed. I'm recovered.
Almost, as I say. But you must take care not to exert yourself. Yeah, for instance, Lily, I gather the family is moving quite soon.
The 1st of May, Doctor. And no, I will not overdo my contribution to the packing. Oh, it will be so strange to be gone from here.
I'm sure it will. You are all still convinced that it is necessary?
Oh, by no means. We waver most terribly. In particular, we worry that the Squire will be very hurt by our going.
Yes, he may be.
And yet, of course, he brought it all about, by interfering as he did, you know, or trying to. Perhaps you don't know.
About Bernard and Belle. I had guessed.
Dr. Crofts, the other evening when you were here with Belle, did you, by any chance, ask her to marry you?
Yes, Lily, I did.
What was her answer?
I cannot remember her precise words, but she refused me.
No, Doctor, it was not so.
Trust me, Lily, it was. I don't think I could have been mistaken.
Well, if she said no, she didn't mean it. You must not believe her. If you really love her, she would be mad to refuse you.
I do love her. Of that I'm certain.
Then go to her again. Perhaps she is still unsure of her feelings, but she will discover them, Dr. Crofts. She will learn to love you as you would wish to be loved, believe me. Go to her again, please. Doctor, my reasons for asking you are purely selfish. I cannot afford to lose a dear brother such as you. Please try once more, Dr. Crofts.
It's hardly necessary for me to say, Adolphus, how thoroughly satisfied I am with this marriage.
Oh, good.
With regard to the wedding itself, Adolphus, I must advise you that we are to a great degree governed by circumstances.
Oh, I understand the position perfectly. You need have no fear on that score. If Alexandrina were marrying the eldest son of a marquis, you would have had a large procession to the church. But in my case, it can be considerably reduced.
Adolphus, you put things in such an odd way.
Oh, that's all right, as long as we understand each other. It's to be St. James's, I hear.
St. James's, February the 14th.
Valentine's Day. Yes. More tea, Lady de Courcy?
I won't, thank you. Having it in London, of course, does mean that the Earl will not be able to attend.
Oh, that will be an intense disappointment to us all.
His health is no better.
Oh, then he mustn't contemplate coming, not on any account. So, a quiet wedding.
Belle?
Yes, Lily?
At what hour do people get married in London?
Any time before 12, I imagine.
Do you think she's Mrs. Crosby yet?
Lady Alexandrina Crosby.
Yes, of course, I forgot.
It's so cold today.
Jolly cold. Jolly cold. Do you remember, Belle, when he first came here, how you lectured me for talking slang?
Did I, my pet?
I called him a swell, and you took exception. You must remember. But he was a swell, you see. That was the mistake.
Oh, Lily, when I think of him...
No, Belle, you will not be angry, for I shan't permit it.
But I want to be angry.
He was very foolish to fall in love with me, and I was very foolish to let him. But I was so proud of having him, Belle. I allowed it to happen. Didn't give him the chance to reflect on it. So you shouldn't be angry with him. Once he found out his mistake, he did the only thing he honestly could do.
What? Become engaged again within a week?
There had been a very old friendship, Belle. You must bear that in mind. I'd so like to see her. I suppose she is a sort of Juno of a woman. Tall, handsome. What I should really like, you know, only, of course, it's not possible, is to be godmother to his first child.
Oh, Lily.
Lily, I brought you a shawl.
Thank you, Mama. They will be very cold at the wedding, I fear.
Yes, and their hearts will be cold too.
Why should that be? Oh, Mama, that is a terrible thing to say.
I'm sorry.
He was not cold-hearted at any rate. Not knowing oneself doesn't make one cold-hearted. Mama, I want you to wish for their happiness.
Oh, I think I do.
You must, Mama. You must. Valentine's Day. I wonder what kind of letter I might have got from him today.
Lily.
If... Well... He's got another Valentine now.
Lily, my darling child. My poor, ill-used child.
No. No, I won't be that.
And wilt thou, Alexandrina, Rosina, Beatrice, Letitia, Maria, Barrington, de Courcy, have this man to thy wedded husband?
I will.
With this ring, I thee wed.
With this ring, I thee wed.
With my body, I thee worship.
With my body, I thee worship.
And with
all my worldly goods, I thee endow.
What is the time?
Almost 11:30, my dear.
It's over now, I'm sure. Over. What a word that is. Over. And all the world cannot put it back again. What if he should be unhappy after all?
He must take that chance.
Yes, Belle. I suppose we must all do that.
I hope you'll like Folkestone.
I hope I will. I would have preferred Naples.
Yes, but that, of course, was out of the question. We must save where we can.
Yes, well, we must save where necessary. I trust it won't be too cold in Folkestone.
Oh, we'll find a good fire in the hotel parlour, I'm sure. Well, my dear.
Careful, I don't want my bonnet wrecked.
Alexandrina.
Yes, Adolphus?
This is a very important step that you and I have taken today.
Yes, it is.
I pray that we shall succeed in making each other happy.
So do I.
That is, after all, our chief duty.
Yes. I just hope the house is warm, that's all.
I think I'll read the paper, if you've no objection.
Not at all. I have a novel to finish.
I knew what was the better course. I chose the worse. Lily. Lily, my dearest. What a fearful mistake I made. And what a fearful punishment is now upon me.
You were having fun yesterday.
Oh, I always aim to do that. What exactly do you mean, Johnny?
Yesterday evening, with Amelia.
Oh, yes.
And the evening before that. You know why she's doing it, don't you? Flirting with you, I mean.
Hmm? Is it possible that she likes me?
It's possible, Cradell, but chiefly, I think, I hope this won't upset you, chiefly she's playing a game. She thinks she'll make me jealous.
Oh, I see. Well, if that's her plan, it seems to be working.
Nonsense!
Sorry, old chap, but you're acting that way. I don't understand it, Johnny. I thought you wanted to get rid of her.
She means nothing to me, you know that. But even so...
Yes?
Well, you wouldn't like it if I started getting friendly with Mrs. Lupex.
Lupex wouldn't, that's for certain.
You don't want to marry her, do you?
Mrs. Lupex?
And Amelia.
Don't think so.
Well, then, I'd keep well clear. She's making a fool of you.
Really? Much obliged for the advice, Johnny. Oh, this morning's post. Forgot to give it to you.
Thanks, Cradell.
From your friend the Earl, I think, judging from the crest and stuff on the envelope.
Yes. Guestwick Manor. My dear John,
I met Mr. Dale the other day, and he told me he'd be very glad if a certain young lady were to listen to what a certain young friend of mine had to say. So, I asked him what he intended to do about the young lady's fortune, and he said that if she married, he'd give her 100 a year while he lived, and settle 4,000 on her after his death.
Good heavens.
Inviting you down again, is he?
Don't know. I said I'd match that.
No, in fact, I'll make it 150 a year, just to help you get along.
150?
You must understand that no one has breathed a word to the young lady about the whole business. But you'll find the squire on your side, and let's hope that Miss Lily is. What about coming down this Easter?
Easter? No, impossible.
Come and stay at the manor, and then you can go a-wooing in the regular old-fashioned way. Lady Julia will be delighted to see you. You're a prime favourite with her since that affair at the railway station.
It's too generous of him. Far too generous. I feel I should say no. The squire's offer is different.
That's Lily's fortune, and it isn't for me to accept it or otherwise. Though the squire is being extremely generous too, of course. I won't be able to say no to the Earl. Whatever I'd like to do, he gets so very cross if anyone refuses him. But anyway, there'll be no need to worry about rejecting money or receiving it if Lily rejects me. What use is all this kindness if Lily is not to be won over?
Lily, you promised.
Promise?
Not to work hard at the packing.
I made no such promise. I told Dr. Crofts I wouldn't be too energetic, but I had to do that because he was about to be cross with me, and I wanted him in a calm and receptive frame of mind. Mama, do these things up here belong to the house or us?
Well, the bowl is ours, at any rate. It was my mother's before I was married. I think it has some value.
Lily, why did you want Dr. Crofts to be in a receptive frame of mind?
Why, Belle, dear? Because I had something important to tell him.
What important thing was it you had to tell him?
I forget now.
Oh.
Come in.
If you can.
Morning.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Dale.
The three of you are hard at work, I see.
Yes. Well, since it's got to be done, it's as well to get it over.
I tell you, it makes me thoroughly wretched. Sick at heart. But I didn't come here to talk about that.
Oh.
I brought you a note from Lady Julia, the guest.
Lady Julia?
Yes, and I've had one from the Earl.
Indeed?
They want us all to go over there, stay for a week after Easter.
A week?
All of us?
Read the letter, Mama.
Considering our near connection, we ought to have seen more of each other than we have. And, of course, the fault is mine.
Well, I don't know. We never thought to invite Lady Julia here.
But it is never too late to mend one's ways. And I hope that you and the girls, for both of whom I have much real regard, will show your forgiveness by coming here. I should tell you that we expect John Eames... Oh. We expect John Eames to be here for the same week.
Is there more, Mama?
Just a little more. My brother is very fond of him, and he thinks him the best young man of the day... And I must confess, he is one of my heroes, too. Very sincerely yours.
It is out of the question for us to accept. All of us, I mean.
Why is it out of the question?
Mama and Belle should go. I'll stay here and be very happy.
But that wouldn't do at all, Lily. Lady Julia particularly wants you to be one of the party.
No, Uncle, that's not possible.
Hopefully.
The whole family can't go, but it would be very nice for Belle.
No, it wouldn't.
You mustn't be ungenerous about it, Belle. Lady Julia means to be kind. Mary, tell the girls they ought to go.
Uncle, don't be angry with me. I can't go.
Are you sure you can't, my dear?
Yes. It's very kind, but I just can't. I'm not fit to go anywhere.
Perhaps you should try and get over that feeling. You should make a struggle.
I am making a struggle, and I shall succeed. But I know I can't go. Not there.
The Income Tax Office. Dear Lord De Guest, you asked me to write, and indeed I have some news to give you. I am to become Sir Raffle Buffle's private secretary. FitzHoward said he's leaving the post because he can't stand the man shouting any longer. But I hope I can learn to endure it for an extra 100 a year, as well as my own little room with carpet, washstand and leather armchair. This is something of a step up on the career ladder for me, and one which places me even more in your debt, my lord. For if you hadn't undertaken to write to Sir Raffle about the affair at the station, I don't suppose I would still be working here at all.
Johnny, I congratulate you.
Thank you, old fellow.
It is all agreed, I take it.
Oh, yes. The only problem was about my having leave at Easter. Private secretaries go on leave in the autumn, according to Sir Raffle.
So what did you tell him?
I said I'd happily be absent in the autumn as well.
Good Lord, you've got a nerve. Will he let you have Easter?
He will once the Earl has written to him. Don't wait for me, Cradell. I'm not quite finished here.
Oh, that's all right. I don't mind waiting in the least.
Well, I was thinking of going on till 8 and then having a chop somewhere.
Oh, I see. So that's how it's to be.
What do you mean?
You're throwing me over, aren't you?
My dear chap.
Now you're a private secretary. Now you're getting on in the world. It's goodbye to Joseph Cradell.
What a goose you are.
I always stuck by you, Johnny. Through everything. Oh, and I suppose I mustn't call you Johnny, either.
You idiot.
If they made me private secretary, I'd have been the same to you as ever. I'd have walked to Mrs. Roper's with you just as before. I wouldn't have turned my back on you.
Oh, Credell, Credell, I haven't turned my back on you. I'm not throwing you over.
You're not?
No. How I hate all this kind of talk.
It must be Amelia, then.
What?
Amelia's come between us. Look, Johnny, if I've caused you grief on her account...
Damn Amelia!
I mean, I'll promise never to speak to her again.
Damn her!
Oh.
Oh, come along. Let's go.
Dull evenings around a dull fire. That was the fate I envisaged for myself when I contemplated marriage to Lily Dale. Well, I have found that dullness. Found it in abundance. But not with Lily.
My sister was here this afternoon.
Oh, yes.
And with Lily, I do believe life could never have been dull. Her love for me was more than enough to brighten the hours.
We're to dine with her and Mortimer on Sunday.
On Sunday? Why on earth Sunday?
Because Amy asked us to go on Sunday. If one is asked to go on Sunday, one cannot say one will go on Monday.
At what time?
She said 5:30.
Oh, well. If she said 5:30, I suppose we must go at 5:30. Heavens and earth, what are we to do all the evening?
It's not kind of you, Adolphus, to speak of my relations like this.
Oh, come, my love. It was a joke. You know I like Emily. Gazib is a very good fellow, in his way. It's just that after 3 or 4 hours, one begins to have had enough of him.
Well, going round there can't be duller than staying here.
One can at least read at home.
I'm tired of reading. I'm tired of being at home. I'm tired during the week of being alone. And I'm tired of always being cold.
I'm sorry about that, my dear, but I'm sure things will improve.
How?
The weather will become milder. Perhaps you'll have a baby.
A baby? I don't regard that as an improvement.
A change, though, certainly.
I don't want a hard life, Adolphus.
I should think not.
I must be comfortable.
You must, Alexandrina. You shall.
And what kind of a life, pray, is mine? I never leave the house, save to go to the office or the Gazebees. Nobody asks me to the theatre. Nobody asks me to play a rubber. Nobody asks me to dine with them, save the Gazebees. All I have is my work. There's nothing else. No love between me and my wife. No sympathy between us.
Oh, my heart's own darling. My love. My lord.
Lily, my own.
I can't be happy without you, Adolphus. I must always know that you are mine.
Lily. Lily.
Well, my dear, I think I'll go to bed.
But it's not yet 10.
Is it not? I'll go anyway. You're right. It is cold.
Very cold. So cold, no fire can remove the chill.
The truth is, Mr. Dale, Lily just can't accept the invitation. She cannot stay with the Earl, not with John Eames being there too.
I understand. And yet the obstacles she anticipates are the very ones we had it in mind would be overcome, if only we could have them both at the manor. I ought to tell you that Lord De Guest has been taking John Eames under his wing, wants him to marry Lily, has promised to settle on him an income which will make him comfortable for life.
Oh, that's very generous.
And Mary, so that Lily won't be empty-handed, I'll settle £100 a year on her, if she'll accept him.
Oh, that's very generous, too. Very generous.
Mary, she'll never get a better man than John Eames.
Well, you may be right, but I fear it isn't possible. Not yet. I must go. Mr. Dale, I don't know what to say to you for your kindness.
Say nothing, either for my kindness or otherwise. But one thing you can do for me. Give up your plan, Mary. Stay at the small house.
Oh, no. No, we can't change the plan now. Oh, but I do fear we may have been too hasty.
Mama! Mama, you mustn't go in yet. At least, not into the drawing room.
Oh, why ever not?
He's in there with Belle, and they mustn't be disturbed.
Who is in there?
Dr. Crofts, of course.
Dr. Crofts? Oh,
he was ever so serious and solemn when he arrived. Told me I was not to go into the room with him. Oh, I wonder how he's managing. There's nothing to sit on but a lump of carpet. Oh. The floor's strewn with crockery. And when I left her, Belle was in your old checked apron rolling up the fire irons in brown paper.
Oh, Mama, are you not glad?
Well, I shall be. We'll live alone together, you and I. But Belle will be very close to us.
Oh, my dear, you must not be too hasty. You may be mistaken, you know.
I'm not mistaken.
Even so, there's many a slip.
Yes, Mama, that's true enough.
Oh, my dearest child, forgive me.
It doesn't matter, Mama. It doesn't hurt me. In fact, it does me good, provided it's you that's with me and no one else. But with God's help, there shall be no slip here, and she shall be happy.
Look, here is Belle and Dr. Crofts.
Now, say nothing, Lily.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Mrs. Dale.
Mama, you must not call him Doctor anymore.
Oh, Belle! Not call him Doctor? Why? Has he been struck off?
Mama, you understand.
Of course she does.
Belle has consented to marry me, Mrs. Dale. Oh. If you will consent.
Oh, I consent. And most willingly.
Dear sister.
Dear brother.
Oh, Belle.
Might I have a word?
By all means. Sit down, won't you?
Look, Crosby, I don't want to find fault.
I hope you have no cause to.
No, I don't say that I have. Not as such.
Not as such.
May I be blunt?
Be blunt, Butterwell.
It simply amounts to this. The members of the board feel that you are taking too much on yourself. Doing work, I mean, that isn't strictly yours to do. Oh, if it's a fault, it's a commendable one. I'm sure it arises from your desire to be efficient and to have everything seen to.
Quite. If I don't do it, who will?
Ah, but the board is very well able to get through all that appertains to it.
Patently not, Butterwell. If I am beholden to do more than my share of the labour, it is because others have done less than theirs.
No, that's not it at all. What has happened is that you have strayed beyond your remit, given directions in many cases for which you ought first to have received authority, either from me or from the board as a whole. You should not be surprised to learn that the board is not happy about this situation.
If you wish me to confine myself to the precise specification of my position, I will do so.
Jemima gave me a note. You want to see me?
Yes, Miss Roper.
Oh, Miss Roper, is it?
I've just been talking to your mother. I'm not coming back here.
Not coming back?
Well, I shall collect my things when I return from Guestwick, but I won't be staying at Burton Crescent.
And where will you be staying, John?
That I don't know yet.
You're intending to be married, aren't you? You're going to marry that girl. That fellow's leavings.
Amelia!
You are, aren't you?
I don't wish to speak of her.
Oh, don't you indeed? Oh. Well, that put-off won't work with me, sir. I won't be treated in that way. I won't.
I'm aware that I haven't behaved quite as I should have done.
Oh, not quite. Not at all. Answer me this, John Eames. Have I had a promise from you? A distinct promise? Or have I not?
I don't know about distinct.
Oh, John. John. I did think you was a gentleman. Think at the very least that you would never put a young lady to the necessity of bringing forward written documents to prove that she is not expecting more than she has a right to.
I haven't behaved well. What more can I say?
What more? If you was a man, you'd know very well what more. I despise you, John Eames. I do indeed. I despise you.
Well, if that's the case, it's probably best if we wish each other farewell at once.
What?
One doesn't like to be despised, but sometimes one can't help it.
Oh, and is this to be the end of it all?
Yes, I suppose so. It cannot be, Amelia. I would ruin myself, ruin you too, and we'd never be happy.
I'd be happy, John. I know I would. Ever so happy.
Now, Johnny, we were hoping to have the Dales over here, Lily included. May I call her Lily?
I wish I had the power of permitting you.
Well, that's just the battle you've got to fight. Anyway, that plan's fallen through.
Which may be no bad thing.
Lady Julia says you'll have a better chance in going over there than you would here. Well, if it had been me, I'd have wanted her near to me as long as possible. But Lady Julia's invariably right in things of this sort. So, over to Allington with you. Get the mother on your side.
If she isn't already.
And then go to the girl and stand up to her boldly, eh?
Yes.
Well, by George, what is there to be afraid of? It's true, I imagine, that Lily was at one time fond of that fellow Crosby.
Blinded, poor thing.
But she can't be very fond of him now.
I'm not sure. I'm afraid that she can't bring herself to forget him.
Oh, of course she can. If she has a good enough reason for doing so.
I would have wished it otherwise, as you know. And Bernard, I'm sure, will be distressed by the news.
Yes. I'm sorry.
He's with his regiment at the moment, about to leave for India. May I write and tell him of Bell's engagement?
Of course.
Believe me, I have nothing against Dr. Crofts, and if he is Bell's choice, then so be it.
Yes, so be it. Thank you, Mr. Dale, for taking it with such good grace.
As I say, I have nothing against the doctor. With regard to money, I shall do for Bell what I have proposed to do for Lily, if she marries. They shall each have £100 a year. You had better tell Dr. Crofts to have a word with me.
Oh, Mr. Dale, he doesn't expect it. He doesn't expect a penny.
So much the better for him and her.
Oh, you are very kind.
You said as much yesterday, and I asked for a small kindness in return.
Oh, Mr. Dale...
Stay at the small house. It was chiefly my attitude regarding Bell's marriage, was it not, that made you want to leave? My determination to be interfering. Well, that business is past now. Bell has chosen quite freely. And you can have no cause for complaint.
We've almost finished packing, Mr. Dale.
Perhaps. But things are unpacked easier than they're packed.
Yes.
Don't go, Mary. If you do, the house will stay empty, you know. I won't let it to strangers. Don't go, I beg you. I'm too old to start anew.
Stand up to her boldly. What is there to be afraid of? Nothing, of course. And everything. She can only say no, and then it is all in ruins. It won't matter what success I've had. My friendship with the Earl, promotion at work. It would be nothing if I can't share my good fortune with Lily. In fact, it won't seem like good fortune at all without her. Better not to have achieved success in that case. Better to be as I was, I think, before I ever went to London. A foolish young fellow who knew nothing about the world but who had his dreams. Who wrote poems in praise of her, which then were locked away. Who built castles in his mind. Fine, beautiful castles for his beloved to dwell in and be queen. I won't go into the village. I'll go up by the great house and through the garden. This is where I saw her last. Where I told her that I loved her. I had no right to do that. Not then, but I have a right to tell her now, at any rate. Oh, my boots are dirty. Perhaps I should have written. No. If when I see her, she gives me some hope, it would have been splendid, I'm sure, to have returned to the manor on horseback, like some triumphant field marshal. But if she gives me no reason for hope at all, I'd much rather walk back, run, roam the fields. Anyway, she won't mind my boots being dirty. She's not like other girls. Not like them at all. I can see someone in the drawing room. Is it her? I think it is. There's no hope, none at all. She never loved me. Why should she love me now? I'd go back now if I could, but I promised I'd ask her. For Lord De Guest's sake, if not for my own. I must go through with this thing. What is there to be afraid of?
Lily? John Eames has come.
Oh, Mama.
I'll let him in this way.
I want you to stay with us, Mama.
Oh, Lily, I don't know. Perhaps it would be better if I didn't.
Please stay. I shall be very glad to talk with John. I like him as well as I can like anyone. But don't leave us, Mama. It can't help things at all.
Morning, Mrs. Dale.
Oh, John, delighted to see you. I'm afraid the drawing room is in a state of terrible confusion, but come in anyway.
Thank you.
Lily is amongst the clutter, if one looks hard enough.
How do you do, John?
How do you do, Lily? So you really are going to live in Guestwick?
Well, it seems like it, I confess.
But in truth, we are thinking hard about changing our minds.
Though this is as yet a secret, John. Have you heard about Belle?
Yes, Dr. Crofts told me. That, I take it, is not a secret.
Oh, no.
Is the wedding to be soon?
Well, yes, we believe so.
Such fun. James took a year or two to make his proposal, and having been accepted, wanted to be married the next day.
Where will they live?
In Guestwick.
Wouldn't it be a good thing if he settled himself in London?
No, John, it would be a very bad thing. Why should he wish to rob me of my daughter?
Did you walk over?
I did, yes.
Oh, it was very good of you to come so far to see us.
Oh, I was always fond of walking, and it is a beautiful day for it. Perhaps, Lily, when I head back, you might go some part of the way with me.
Yes, why not, Lily?
No, I'm rather tired.
It would do you good.
Perhaps, but I'm not in the mood for having good done to me. Besides, I should have to return here by myself.
Well, I'd accompany you.
Ah, yes, and then you and I should have to set off again, and we should never be finished. I don't wish to walk today.
I must speak to you, Lily. I have come over here for that purpose. I have come down from London for that purpose.
Lily,
don't leave the room, Mama.
I love you, Lily. I loved you before Crosby ever... Before you set eyes on him, and now that he has gone, I love you more than I ever did. Dear Lily.
John. No. No.
Must that always be the answer?
I cannot marry you, John. Not while I love another. John, my dearest John, I was nearer to my heart's longings than you have ever been. But I know that there are other things, and I will not allow myself to be broken-hearted.
You are stronger than I am.
Not stronger, more certain. But as one becomes certain, one will find some strength. Is that not so, Mama?
Oh, my child, I do so wish... If you can give John any hope...
Mama, how can I give you hope, John, when I love him better than all the world?
But it may not be so forever.
Forever. And why should he not be mine as well as hers when that forever comes? If you understand what it is to love, you will speak no more of it. I should be disgraced in my own eyes if I admitted the love of another man. I should be disgraced, I say, because I almost feel as if I'm already married. John, my answer to you is no. Now and always.
I knew it would be so.
Yes. You knew it, dearest John, because your heart understands mine.
Believe me, John, if it could have been otherwise, you should have had all my best wishes in the matter. I would have loved you dearly as my son. And I will love you now.
Failed. Failed! And I should never have tried. Not so soon, at least, and not in that way. Hurting her as well as making an ass of myself. There was never any hope. I knew that. Knew it. Why then did I allow the Earl to encourage me? Allow him to hurry me along, call me the conquering hero, tell me faint heart and so on, stand up to her boldly. What a stupid man he is. I hate him for it. Almost hate him. But I take the bigger blame. I listened when I knew that I knew better. It was madness to attempt such a task in such a way and with such a crowd, it seemed, eagerly awaiting the outcome. I was a fool indeed to let them make such a fool of me. In truth, I've been a fool all my life.
John? May I come in?
She's refused me.
I'm very sorry, John.
She's refused me, and it's all over.
It needn't be.
Oh, believe me, Lady Julia, she is quite definite.
Well, but it still needn't be all over. This love you have is a love to keep, to hold. It will be a joy to you in future years, not a sorrow. To have loved truly, even though you may have loved in vain, will be a consolation when you're as old as I am. It is something, you know, to have a heart.
I wish I didn't.
Oh.
Oh, it has all been in vain. I shall never win.
Ah. Good morning, Alexandrina.
Good morning. You're late?
No, not late. But not, perhaps, as early as I used to be. I have decided that working extra hours at the office is simply a waste of time. Go beyond what is actually required of one, well, why bother? I never looked for approval. But on the other hand, I was not expecting resentment and jealousy. Anyway, how did you enjoy your evening?
Quite well.
How is your mother?
Not too well. There have been some words, I gather, between Mama and Papa.
Oh, dear.
She is going to Baden-Baden.
Baden-Baden? For how long?
For a reasonable time. And I am intending to go with her.
I see. For a reasonable time?
Possibly.
A month, for instance? Is that reasonable?
Oh, more than a month. I would decide for how long when I get there.
You wish to leave me, in other words?
In one sense, it would be leaving you, certainly.
Well, let me put it this way, dearest Alexandrina. When you talk of going to Baden-Baden for this indeterminate period, have you any idea of ever coming back again?
Back to London, you mean?
Back to me, back to this house, back to your duties as a wife. Alexandrina, do you wish to be separated from me?
I'm not happy here, Adolphus.
You're not happy? What do you mean? You're not happy being in this house?
Yes.
But it was you who chose it. I didn't want to come here.
The house is cold.
Oh, do you mean that if it were not cold, you would not be going to Baden-Baden? Or might you be leaving, even if the temperature were positively tropical? What kind of house is it, I wonder, that would confer upon you lasting happiness?
It's not simply the house. It's also being alone in it. 8 hours a day or more. Nobody comes to me save Emily sometimes or Mama.
Well, that is hardly my fault. The fact is, you steadfastly refuse to reconcile yourself to living the kind of existence which accords with my income. You feel wretched because we haven't a carriage, and you can't be driven around the park.
Are you willing that I go to Baden-Baden?
Would it stop you if I were not willing?
I must also advise you that I will require the money to pay my own expenses. I won't allow Mama to support me.
You won't? Ah. And I don't suppose she would allow it either. I'll see you this evening, Alexandrina.
Goodbye, Adolphus.
Unless, of course, you have already fled the country by then. So, I am to become a bachelor again in all but name. Alexandrina and I will correspond occasionally, but that shall be all. And that shall be enough. Very hard to quarrel by post. I shall escape from this awful house. Find lodgings. Perhaps my old place in Mount Street is still vacant. I'll go there today and find out. I shall attempt to avoid Lady Emily and Gazebee as much as possible, and shall dine at the club virtually every day. Gather around me a modest circle of friends. Yes. It will seem just like old times. Almost.
So, my boy, I hear the young lady has been perverse.
Yes, my lord. That is, perhaps not perverse, but it's all over at any rate.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure. Seems to me not half of them accept their lovers at the first time of asking.
I shan't ask her again.
Yes, you will, John. Again and again. You'll come down to Belle's wedding, and you'll ask her then. And if she refuses you, we'll see you at Christmas, or sooner. And you could try once more. A girl thinks nothing of a man till she's refused him half a dozen times and over.
My lord, Lily's not like that.
Of course she is. Don't tell me she's going to be an old maid because she's come across a false-hearted scoundrel and thinks she's still in love with him. She'll change. Of course she will, if it makes her happier. And listen, there's something else I want to tell you. A fellow should never allow himself to be cast down by anything. Not outwardly, at least.
How can he help it?
Pluck. Courage. You weren't afraid of the bull that day. You weren't afraid to thrash that scoundrel at the station. I sympathize with your grief, John. But I'll have no time for you if you mope.
Well, I'm very sorry.
No, you're not. You're angry with me. Good. It's better being angry than moping.
Yes. Yes, you're right. I am sorry, I really am, and I'm very grateful to you, my lord, for all your kindness.
Welcome again to Burton Crescent.
Thank you, Cradell. You just popped in to pick up my stuff and say goodbye.
Yes, of course. But before you do either, Johnny, I have something to tell you.
Please.
I am aware, how could I not be, of all that has passed between you and Amelia.
Yes?
Well, you told me much of the story yourself. The rest has been supplied by Amelia. Such a fine, pure-minded, honest girl.
Cradell, old chap.
Well, the fact is, all that has to be discontinued now.
You're going to marry her?
Why, yes, I am. She has promised to be mine. Johnny, I hope you're not distressed.
No, Cradell. I don't think that I am. In fact, I congratulate you from the bottom of my heart.
Mr. Eames is here.
Oh, Mr. Eames!
Oh, yes. Oh. Thought I'd bid you all a fond farewell.
How very good of you.
Evening, Eames.
Evening, Lupex. Miss Bruce.
Good evening, sir.
You've heard our news?
About Cradell and your daughter? Yes. She'll make him a fine wife, Mrs. Roper.
I think she will. And I'm very happy to find her settling down at last. I'll confess, Mr. Eames, it made me very unhappy, you know, when she was... How shall I put it?
Setting her cap at you, Mr. Eames, I believe that's the phrase.
But she is my own daughter. I couldn't go against her.
Well, you could have tried, Mrs. Roper, but it would have served no purpose. A very headstrong girl, that. Some might even call her wanton. I was young when I got married, but I admit I wasn't young at heart. Good luck to them, anyways, for they'll need it in great abundance.
And good luck to you, Mrs. Lupex. I wish you well.
Oh, thank you. Very kind. Now, when I got married... No, I shall say no more, for otherwise I might be betrayed into an expression of personal emotion.
Which we can all do without, I reckon. Goodbye, then, Eames.
Goodbye, Lupex.
And if you want my advice, you'll beware of marrying too soon in life.
Goodbye, Miss Bruce.
Goodbye, sir.
Do you have any advice for me, Miss Bruce?
Advice? Oh, I'm only an old woman, you know.
Mr. Eames, it's been an honour and a pleasure to have you in the house. And if any of your young men at the office are wanting to be accommodated in a clean and respectable establishment...
Yes, yes, of course.
Amelia will be married before too long, so I won't have to worry about, you know, all that. Well, I trust I won't.
Indeed. Where is Amelia, by the way?
No idea, old chap. She was here just before you came.
That it, then, Gov?
Yes, I think so, thank you.
Great Western Hotel, you said?
That's right.
All right.
Johnny!
Wait a moment, please. Amelia.
I've come to say goodbye.
Yes. Well, goodbye.
I wish I'd never met you, Johnny Eames. I didn't think I'd ever care for a man like I cared for you. But it's all foolery, isn't it? Some young ladies can sit in drawing rooms all their lives. But a woman like me has to make her way in the world. I've been a fool, Johnny. And all for nothing. I've been a fool, and you've been a knave. But it's over now, and I wish you goodbye.
Try to make him a good wife, Amelia, and then you'll be happy. May I kiss you?
It'll be the last between us.
I must go.
Goodbye, Johnny Eames.
Is Bill not here?
James called round. They've gone to Guestwick.
Well, I'll not wait with my news, for I don't think I can. I have seen your uncle, and have promised solemnly to give up all idea of our moving from here.
Mamma! So we may unpack at once.
Yes, my dear.
Oh, what geese everyone will think we are. And what Uncle makes of us, I daren't think.
Oh, Uncle is very fond of us. I know it now as I've never known it before. Perhaps it is that his love for us has grown much stronger for various causes. Or perhaps that love was always as I encountered it this morning. But in times past he found it hard to show it, his heart being kinder than his words. Indeed, he was finding it hard today, until the tears came. His and mine.
Mamma.
And then he spoke at some length, dwelling particularly on his great fondness for you and Belle. Told me also that he is to give Belle a very large sum of money.
What is very large, Mamma?
£3,000?
Oh, yes, that is a very large sum.
And you are to receive 3,000 as well.
Me? You mean if I marry?
No, no, my dear. The money is yours at this moment to buy hairpins with, if you wish. Uncle thinks it right to do the same by each of you.
Oh, Mamma! You know, the last time he gave me money, it was half a crown. £3,000! How I am to thank him, I cannot think. This sort of thing is beyond my line of life. A nice new £5 note would have been better. I'd have known how to thank him for that.
Well, my dearest... However you may express your gratitude to him, you are a young woman of some substance now.
I am myself. Money alters nothing. It can bring no change in me, nothing of significance. So I trust Uncle won't be disappointed if he sees the same Lily Dale tomorrow. Oh,
Lily, now I know what your feelings are about the love you still cherish. But do you think... in time that you might bring yourself to receive John Eames as a dear friend?
He is already a dear friend.
No, a friend, I mean, who might become your husband.
Mamma.
If you could, my child, I'm certain I should see you happy once more. And I should be so very happy too, the happiest woman in the world.
No, Mamma, I would cause you misery beyond measure. Because you would soon recognise that it was wrong, and could only cause more misery for me. There is no point, you see, in trying to forget him. My love for Adolphus is the one thing which will never be forgotten. It refuses to have itself buried and put out of sight. Like you, Mamma, I am widowed. And so it should be. What can a heart be worth if its affections can be transferred hither and thither to suit circumstances and convenience? So we are two widows in the same small house. But you have your daughter, and I have my mother. And if you can be contented with that, so can I.
Lily.
Well, Mamma.
Oh, Lily, my child. It shall be as you will.
Dearest Adolphus, you have changed, but I have not. When I fell in love with you, I regarded you as my husband, and I still do. My husband, my lord, my heart's own darling. Always and forever. Wherever you go, my thoughts shall be like Ruth, and shall never cease from following you. Like Ruth, I declare that